Take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, we'll read the first 10 verses together. Ezekiel 34, we'll read the first 10 verses together, and we'll read this passage responsibly. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in this place. Lord, our people have been thrilled this week and moved at the same time. We have been moved at the fact that we saw the bigness of this world and the need for the gospel. We're thrilled because we have a man of God with a vision to reach that world. Father, please be with our preacher tonight, fill him with your power, please. May we leave this place a whole lot more like you and a lot less like ourselves, please. In Jesus' name, and then you may be seated. In the passage of Scripture we read together a few moments ago, you see the shepherds are mentioned, and you see the flocks of the shepherds are mentioned. Let me describe you or tell you exactly what it's talking about. The shepherds, of course, are the leaders of the flock. You would be the pastor. You would be, and to some degree, those that would help to shepherd the other leaders in the church. The flocks, those are the sheep. Those are the followers. That is our congregation. All of us have fellowship positions in one way or another. The Bible here is talking, God is speaking to the shepherds. God is disappointed in the leaders. He says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. It says in verse 2, Woe be to the shepherds. It says, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against the shepherds. Huh. God is disappointed in some type of leadership. He says, I'm so disappointed, I may take your flock away from you. That's what he mentions in verse 10. He says, I will deliver my flock from your mouth. What have these leaders done? What have these pastors done? What have they done that is so disappointing to God? Well, it says, Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? These leaders were using the flock for their own benefit. The sheep had become food instead of being fed. And God was very disappointed in this type of leadership. The shepherds' growth had become more important than the sheep's growth. And that was upsetting to God. He said, You have led in such a way that I will take the sheep away from you. One of my primary beliefs
One of my primary philosophies by which I try to lead my ministry is this. I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. Anyone who has known my ministry can testify to my desire to live this philosophy. God wants to use people. But let me tell you something. When He does, when God uses people, it benefits the people more than it benefits God. You ever stop to think about that? When you're serving God, it does more for you than it does for God. He did not have to choose to use you. He did not have to choose to use me. He could have done it himself. But God knew that when you were used, being used would be good for you. And so God's ministry is, I'm not going to use my people to build my work, but I'll use my work to build my people. Because in your service to God, you're doing what's best for you. Obviously, it's good for Him, but He could have done it Himself. God chose to use man because of what it would do for man. When I was serving the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, I led a ministry for teenagers. It was called the Bible Club Ministry. We would have Bible clubs for the public school, high school teenagers. I started that ministry with about 24 workers. When I say 24 workers, these were college-age workers. They were people that were training to be youth directors and youth workers and youth leaders. When I left the ministry, it would have had about 400 workers. I'm talking about 400 college-age people that were leaders and workers. I'm not talking about teenagers now. I'm talking about those that were actually going out and running the ministry. You say, Brother Owens, to what would you attribute such amazing growth from 24 to 400? Well, I did not use the college kids to build the Bible Club ministry. I used the Bible Club ministry to build the college kids. Every year, at the end of the year, we'd have a picnic. And we'd get all these workers together, and we'd have a big end-of-the-year picnic. And at that picnic, I always made a speech to them. They would all be sitting there in the pavilion. We'd been playing softball and basketball and eating and then eating and then eating and then eating. And but I'd make a little speech at the end of the day, and I would say, folks, let's do something. I don't have this ministry to help you get famous. I'm not trying to help you get your name at the top of the totem pole. There's one thing I'd like to see happen. I'd like to see all of you grow in the Lord to the point that 20 years from now, you're still serving God. That's what I want for you. I want you to be faithful. I want you to stay in the ministry. I want you to be a Roman Candle youth director. I want you to go out there and stick by the stuff and last until Jesus comes. I'll tell you something. I travel this nation. I see them everywhere. I see them by the dozens everywhere, working in churches all across the nation. There's survivors, you see. But you see, my goal was not to use them to build the Bible Club ministry. My goal was to use that Bible Club ministry to build those college students. While I was there, I never tried to get them to build the ministry. I didn't try to run their help in the ground to build the ministry. I was not trying to get something out of them, but I was trying to put something into them. That's my whole goal. I had a Sunday school class. It started with zero. I had an empty room. It was about 12 foot square. And I was to build a Sunday school class for young married couples between the ages of 18 and 25. We started the class. 14 years later, we were running in between 400 and 500 in attendance in that married couple's class. You say, Brother Owens, to what would you attribute such growth? Well, I did not use the people in my class to build my class. I used my class to build the people. This was not unstable growth, by the way. This was solid growth. This wasn't fly by night and impress everybody with an attendance growth. It was solid growth. It was strong growth. It was loyal growth. It was powerful growth, to be honest. Very powerful growth. You see, but my philosophy was not to get them to build a class. My philosophy was I'd use my class to build them. My philosophy was not use the college students to build the Bible Club ministry, but use the Bible Club ministry to build those college students. I started a ministry while there. It's called the E-Bus Ministry. We went into middle class and upper class housing developments. Very, very difficult thing. Of course, when you build a bus ministry, it sure is a lot simpler if you go to lower class housing and ghetto situations. But I went to middle class and upper class homes, $250,000, $300,000 homes. We took bus routes in there to pick people up. We started with zero workers, started ground zero. And after 3 years, we're running almost 100 workers. I'm not talking about 100 riders. I'm talking about 100 people that would go out, and they would visit, and they were workers, and they were bus drivers and bus captains. You say, Brother Owens, to what would you attribute such phenomenal growth? Well, I did not use the workers to build that bus ministry. I used that bus ministry to build those workers. Every responsibility given out here in this church is given in an effort to grow the person to whom it was given. If I've given you some responsibility, if you have some responsibility in the church, it was given to grow you. I was thinking, I see Kathy Conway back there. I was thinking her husband, Jason. Jason is a crossing guard out here and makes sure little boys and girls are safe when they walk back and forth from the church building to the school building. I gave Brother Jason that job so Jason would grow in the Lord. That's why I gave it to him. I'm not trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. I'm not trying to build my name. I'd like to build your name and the Lord's. You know something? If you think I came here to build my name, I could have gone to a better place. When I came to Martinsburg, West Virginia, everybody in the country didn't say, boy, that was a strategic move for the name of Jeff Owens. No, you might think it may, the nation already knew me before I came here. I did not come here to build a name. I came here to build a people. That's why I came. I'm not trying to build this church. I'm trying to build the church's people. You. You. And you. And you. And you. And these behind me. That's why I'm here. If all I wanted to do was to draw a crowd and build myself up, I would change some things. I'd change my belief on a dress code for those in leadership. They might be here. I can get more people. But I'm not here just to draw a crowd. I'm here to build a people. I would drop the role model expectations in this church. Why, hey, if I would give just anybody a position, you just got to walk in the church, you can do anything you want, we'll put you up in front of everybody that matters about your testimony and wait for the property, hey, we could get them come in here by the thousands. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to build a people. You know what? If I want to draw a great big crowd, you know, we could just throw out the rules of Martinsburg Christian Academy. We could get them come by the droves. Or I could just let them live any way they want off the property. By the way, the rules in the school, if the school rules say you can't go drinking, that means longer off the property. How foolish to think that the rules, you thought we just set them up so you got to live right here on the property? You're live right off the property, too. You say, well, you're never going to build a big school that way. I'm not trying to build a big school. I'm trying to build people. There's a big difference. Hey, if I were to build this church up real, real big, I'd get me some contemporary music. I'd have me a contemporary service. We could all dance a little bit more. They like that. Especially, that's like the world. Hey, if I wanted to build this thing up, you know what? I could fellowship with churches that don't believe like us. I would have people to speak for me who are not like us in an effort to draw some of their crowd. I could drop this strong stand on the King James Bible just so that everybody promote any Bible they want, get a bigger crowd that way. But I wouldn't go with people. But I'm not trying to build up the attendance. I'm trying to build up the attendee. I don't care about the growth of our buildings. I care about the growth of the people in the buildings. You know, folks, I want us to have beautiful buildings, and thank God we do, but I'll tell you something. I just will throw a tent up out here as long as we're getting people saved. We have to figure out a way to house them and put them somewhere, and I'm not trying to impress people with my buildings. I'm trying to get the Holy Spirit of God to impress something upon the people in the buildings. I don't care about the growth of our offerings. I care about the growth of the giver. I'm not trying to build a great church. I'm trying to build a great people. I will not use my people to build my work, but I will use my work to build my people. I'll be very honest with you. We'll run between 700 and 800 people every Sunday. Every Sunday. You know, folks, if we wanted to run 1,500, we can. I can do that. I can do it next Sunday if you want. No problem. I got 10 people in here that could go out and fill buses with 80 or 90 in them. I got people trained like that overnight. I can do that. But we're not ready for it. Because we got a whole bunch of Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers that need to grow before we get there. Does that shock you? Is that not what we're all supposed to be doing, is growing? Yeah, if you can't handle Sunday school class of 5 or 6, how are you going to handle Sunday school class of 50? You're going to have to grow into it. Oh, there are methods and means to draw a crowd. But wait a minute. We're to have stable growth and solid growth and make sure that the people that we bring in are taught and trained and loved, and we watch out for them. I will not use my people to build my church, but I will use my church to build my people. What do you mean by that, Brother Owens? Well, I'll not use my people to build my bus ministry. I'll use my bus ministry to build my people. You captains. You're captains because I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to learn to lead people. I want you to learn to love people. You know something? I've taken people never captain a bus route in their life and gave them a bus route. You know, Brother Bajan, I bypass some people that know exactly how to captain a route, and I go to someone that's never captained a route, and I make somebody that's green behind the ears a bus captain. He said, what are you doing? I'm growing people. I'm growing people. You've got to learn to lead people. You've got to learn to love people, bus captain. You're a bus captain for your own good. What are you trying to do? Get me to get a bunch of people to build up your church? No, I'm trying to get you to build up you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to train you. You workers. You're workers on the bus route for a reason. We're not out there just trying to gather up a bunch of people so we can tell everybody we had a big attendance. No, you workers on the buses, you're learning fellowship. You're learning to help people. It's good for you. You drivers, you're learning to be faithful and responsible. You're learning to be a role model. You're learning to help people come to church. Hey, look, there are people. We can have a bigger bus ministry than what we have right now, and we will. And we're coming along. We're getting ready to add a few more bus routes. But let me tell you, we're here to grow people. Now, when you grow people, you'll grow in numbers. But my ultimate goal is that the bus captains grow in the Lord, and the workers grow in the Lord, and the drivers grow in the Lord, and the people on the buses are growing with them. You know, I have never gone to any bus captain in the almost 3 years I've been here and scolded them for an attendance. I'll go to them. I heard a guy one time. The guy that was in charge of a portion of a bus ministry. I heard a fella. He had a what are they called? Those CB radio that were connected to a bunch of the buses that he was overseeing. I heard him on a CB radio talking to all his captains. Brother Bajan, I couldn't believe it. I heard him saying, "That bus isn't full. Don't you bring it into the church? It should be full. No, that shouldn't cost money by not bringing that bus in full." I was thinking, what kind of a leader is that? What a bus captain is supposed to do is go out and visit and give his dead devil best, reach everybody he can, and bring them on into the church, whether the bus is full or not. Couldn't believe the way he was acting when talking. It was somebody that was trying to get a name for himself. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I will not use my people to build my bus ministry, but I'll use my bus ministry to build my people. I will not use my people to build my Sunday schools, but I'll use my Sunday schools to build my people. You would not believe who I recruit as Sunday school teachers. Some of you, you know, you're snotty, arrogant, what do you say? Yes, I'll do, but I've already seen some. You know what I'm doing? Building people. Building people. You know you learn more by teaching than by being taught. By the time you get studying that Sunday school lesson, you're going to start learning something. and I am trying to grow some people. You see, brother, oh, so-and-so is a Sunday school teacher. They hardly know anything about the Bible. Well, you just hang in there, babe. They're going to know something before long. Because you got to learn somehow, and you got to learn sometime, and they're willing to be a role model and live right and do right, and I'm going to give them a chance. You teachers, I didn't put you in that position because you have to go out and build that class for 100 in attendance. I put you there so you would grow. You know, you need to learn to change somebody's life. Teacher, I put you there to pull you out of your stinginess so you'll have a happier life when you start investing in somebody else. There are people in this church who have so much Bible knowledge, it's pathetic, but it's all crammed down inside you, and you're not about to do anything with it. You have to change your lifestyle to qualify to be a Sunday school teacher. You just keep the Bible knowledge for yourself, won't you? Maybe you ought to want to grow. You that are assistant teachers, I'm preparing you to be teachers. I'm teaching you faithfulness and preparation and loyalty. I've not been disappointed in one person Sunday school attendance. I want you to grow. You know, their classes will run 1, 2, 3. That's okay. I want you to grow. I want you to learn. You learn to reach 1, and then you learn to reach 2. Once you reach 2, you learn to reach 3. Then you learn to reach 4. After you got 4, you learn to reach 5. That's how you do it. You got to learn somewhere. I will not use my people to build my Sunday school. I'm using my Sunday schools to build my people. I'm not using my people to build my Faith Promise Missions program. Look, you need to give because it's good for you. You know, if I can come to you and tell you some great big number of money that we raise, you know, none of that comes to me. That's not my money. It's God's money. It goes to the missions, not to me. So I'm not trying to get a feather in my cap. I'm not trying to tell anybody how great we are. You need to give for you. You need to give so you're right with God. You need to care for missionaries. I am not real good at setting a lot of numerical goals. I have no goal for how much money we should raise at our Faith Promise Missions Conference. None. No, don't you want a big number? No. You know what I want? I want everybody in this building to be right with God when we stop taking pledges. Well, brother, it looks like they're going to get up and yell and scream at us if we don't hit a certain amount. No. I want you to do what God wants you to do, and that's it. That's simple. You need to give for you, not for me. My wife was talking to one of the missionaries, and she just broke my heart. She told me this story. She said, honey, this is what the missionary said to me. If you remember us on the mission field, could you just send us some peanut butter? Some peanut butter. And I thought, we're spoiled. All the missionary asked was that we could remember them and maybe send them some peanut butter because they don't have access to it. You need to learn to love missions because what it'll do for you, what it'll do for your heart, what it'll do for your life. By the way, what it'll do for your finances. I'm not going to use my people to build my Faith Promise program. I'm going to use my Faith Promise program to build my people. Hey, I will not use my nursery workers to build my nurseries. I'm going to use my nursery program to build my nursery workers and directors. You know, you ladies that work the nurseries, working the nursery is good for some of you. It teaches you to get along with people. Honestly.
Yes, sir.
You have some mama that comes in and she's a little hard to get along with. Some of you need to learn a little public relations. You need to learn a little tact. You need to learn how to keep your mouth shut and just listen a little bit. It's good for you. You're learning something. Some of you younger ladies, we put you in there, not just because we don't have anybody work the nursery. God knows the nursery directors will tell you, I don't just let them put you in there. Some of you younger mothers, we put you in there because you're learning how to take care of little ones. And that's good for you. It's a ministry for you. It's an investment for you. Some of you need a place to serve God. Some of you need to learn to be organized. Some of you need to learn to be on time. Work in the nursery is good for you, so you show up early like you're supposed to. It's good for some of you to have a commitment where you said, I'll be there, and you show up without excuse. It's good for you. Why are you all so quiet? Don't do this to me, folks. It's as simple as peanut butter here. I'm not doing it. And you say, well, what are you trying to accomplish? Put me in the nursery. I'm trying to help you grow in the Lord. Are you? Hey, working in the nurseries will help some of you get some tact. I'll tell you something. When I have, listen, nursery directors, listen to me now. When I have ladies in the church come see me and say, the person running that nursery is rude to me, you need to go in the Lord. Don't be snapping at each other. Grow. There shouldn't be anybody that avoids any one of those nurseries. They ought to be organized and first class, and they ought to be clean and treated right and done right. And so you all know that's how I feel about it. I'm trying. But I'm trying to grow the people. You make that nursery a ministry. Let it change your life. I'm not using my nursery workers to build my church. But I'm going to use my nursery ministry to build the people that work in it. I'm not using my people to build my church, for instance, my staff. I'll tell you something. I don't hire finished products. You say, yep, you're right, Brother Owens. You don't. I don't. You go out and hire some guy that just knows it all. You won't be able to control him. He won't submit. He won't get with the program. Okay, he'll be a glory boy. He'll be like a basketball player that's drawing a machine gun, just shooting all the time, trying to get his name in the paper. We need humble servants of God. I hire men that are pliable. I hire men that are moldable. I hire men with potential. I hire men that are obedient. That's the kind of man I'm looking for. You know what? I'm going to use this microphone. I want to help Greg Nash grow. You say, he doesn't know everything he ought to know. I know that. You people in the choir, if you're ever critical of him, you're not really smart. I know who I hired. And I also know his potential. Don't you fiddle with that potential right there. I mean, all of you, don't you fiddle with that potential. He has the potential of being the greatest strong leader in the world today. Don't fiddle with the potential. I know what I have. I don't hire a finished product. He's going to grow. And grow. And grow, and he is. He's 2 pants size bigger than what he was last year. I hire potential. I'm not looking for finished products. And he's not perfect, and I don't expect him to be. Keep going. I hire Brother Stephen Davis. He's not perfect. Just ask his wife. But I hired him because I think there's great potential in that man. Great potential. You know something? He grew up right here in this area all of his life. Went to a church in the area up in Hagerstown, went off to Bible college. He said, Brother Owens, I'm coming back. I want to be a part of your ministry. I said, Steve, I don't have a job for you. I'm not going to hire you. Right out told him, I'm not going to hire you. He said, I'm coming back because I know God wants me in that church. Steve, I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And finally, I just couldn't shake it up. Didn't ask me for a job. Didn't plead for a job. Was good with it. 1 week before I hired him, I called him in and said, Steve, I got to tell you, I don't think I have a place for you. He said, preacher, I'm not looking for a place. I just want to serve God. A week later, I said, I'm hiring that guy. He's got potential. He said, well, he's not perfect. Well, you're a brain surgeon. He's a young man. Look at him. Looks like howdy doody. But he's got potential. I go on and on. I hired Brother Rick Young. He's got potential. Not a finished product. He didn't know all about it. He never ran a men's ministry before. I said, Brother Young, I want you to start a men's ministry. He said, preach, I'll do whatever you want. But I've never done that before. I'll tell you what, for a guy that's never done it before, we got something pretty hot going on around here. Paul Anderson came to our church. He said, Brother Owens, never been to a church in my life in all of America where the men are so unified and so many men show up on a weeknight for an activity. He said, never, never. He said, the churches across America need to catch on. You've never done it before, huh? Brother Bush, my son, Joshua, these men, Brother Rusty Gula, what a man of compassion. He's not a finished product. Not at all. But you just watch and see. You watch what God's doing in his life. I'm telling you, you talk about a guy, Brother Gula can do something, and it's off base just a little bit, and it didn't turn out quite right. You know, you can come right miles. He said, preacher, teach me. It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. He said, I just want you to teach me. I want to learn to do it right. I want it to turn out right. I inherited a couple of men, Brother Bajan and Brother Tennis. I'll tell you, I would have thought men that were a little older, been in the ministry for years, been in the ministry longer than I have. I would have thought, I'm going to have my hands full of these fellas. They're going to buck me. A couple of the most humble, loyal, I'll tell you something, well, some of the most teachable men on the face of the earth. I'm not looking for showgirls. I'm looking for humility. I'm looking for sincerity. I'm looking for potential. I'm not asking you guys to build this church. I'm not. I'd like to build you, though. I'd like to build you. 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 Brother Davis, I'd like to build you. John, I'd like to build you. I'd like to build you. Brother Hewitt, I'd like to build you. Brother Tennis, I'd like to build you. I'm building people. Build them solid. We can't build them overnight like that. Are we all just growing and that what it's really all about? I'm not here to get them to build this church. I'm here to get this church and this ministry to build these men. Those of you that work at the school, all the school staff, we're not just trying to get something out of you. We're trying to make you into something. Some of you in your humility would say, I don't even know why I work here. Well, at first glance, I wasn't sure either. But you can be dead sure of something. We're trying to pump something into you. We're trying to change your life. We're trying to make you into something. I wonder, I could not tell you in the last 3 years how many staff members come and say, little ones, I just feel like I don't qualify to work at the church, and I don't feel like I can live up to what the Lord wants, and that is exactly what I'm looking for. Somebody that's humble and notable and pliable that comes in and says, hey, build me into something. I want to be placed in the hands. I want to be made into something. That's what we're looking for. Men on our deacon board, I'm not trying to use them. I'm trying to help them to become usable, and I'm watching them grow. You guys that are ushers, I'm trying to use you in the church. We're not abusing you. We're giving you a place to serve. We're teaching you to learn kindness and a little bit of aggression and a little bit of alertness. We're helping you learn how to be a representative of Jesus Christ. And every usher in here, you ought to take your job real seriously. Real seriously. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. The greeters. All the greeters in this church. Hey, we're not trying to get something out of you. You know something, greeters? I got about 600 other people be glad to be a greeter. You're there for a reason. We want you to represent us. We want you to give somebody a hearty handshake. I want you to learn to smile. I want you to be faithful. I want you to hear on Wednesday night also. I want you to learn responsibility. I want you to learn all of that. Hey, we're not trying to use you to get something out of you. We're trying to put something into you. Those of you that are King Kids workers, hey, you're learning to teach the Bible. We're not trying to, hey, Brother John and I, we're not trying to build the biggest King's Kids ministry in the world. We're trying to build people. That's what it's all about. You're learning to follow leadership and work with children. For some of you, it's going to make you a better parent. I've met Brother John and I, where's Brother John Kid Rock? There you are. Brother John and I, we have never discussed attendance. I've been here for 3 years, not one time, and we sit down and say, what's your dinner so good? Get that up, John. No, you do your best, and you'll grow, and all of us will grow. I don't know the Brother Bajan all the time. I say, wait, I'm on the bus and say, how many did John Dawes have? He probably didn't have any. How many did Mrs. Tate have? Hey, how many did Carol have? I don't do that. I'm growing people. I want you to do your best and give your best. King's Kid, the purpose is not to get the workers to build the King's Kid. King's Kids will build the workers. The other ladies that help us to decorate, every one of them. Every last one of them. What are you trying to get out of me? Nothing. trying to put something in you. I'm trying to teach you how to be first class, and how to be creative, and how to plan ahead, and how to handle a little criticism. Do you know what you have? You'll do a smashing job, and one little thing will fall off, and some jerk in the church will say, well, couldn't you have done that better? You got to learn how to handle that. God knows I go through it constantly. I mean, we can print 99 bullets in dinner row and not one flaw in the grammar, one mistake. Everybody here that can read comes and says, well, can't you do this right? We're so glad we have those kind of people in our church. It's your ministry. For the decorators, we're not trying to take something from you, but put it into you. Those of you that are parking lot attendants, we're teaching you to be friendly and faithful and be at work. Hey, we're not trying to abuse you, we're trying to teach you something. Hey, school staff, listen, I will not use the school to build a school. I will use the school to build the people. I am not trying to build a great school, I'm trying to build a great people. I'm not trying to increase the attendance of our school, I'm trying to increase the Christianity of the attendance. Every coach here, I'm not trying to get you to go out and do something great with the ball team. I'm trying to get you to become a good Christian, and then the boys to become a good Christian, because you don't get no rewards in heaven for getting a bunch of points. But I do want us to win something. We're there to grow. Just check up on the Bible and see what it teaches about it. Teachers, all employees, everybody here that's a soul winner, say, what are you trying to get out of us? Well, what I get out of it if you go out and souls? Stop and think about it. Do I sleep better at night? Do I get a raise? Not here. No, I'm not taking care of. I'm really desperate to get home tonight. Soul winners. You say, why do you insist that we be soul winners? It's best for you. You need to get people to go to heaven. You need to bring them into the church. The youth workers. Why? Why do we have you there? Because you need to learn to be good role models. You're going to learn something about marrying teenagers. You need to learn to cut up a little bit and have some fun and stop being a stick in the mud. We're not trying to use the people of this church to build the attendance. We're trying to use the church to build the attendees. And this is the kind of leadership and the philosophy that I want all those that help me lead to use. Go people, not attendance. Go the bus captain. Grow the people. Bus captain, grow the people under you. You're not there just to see what you can get out of them. Well, what about this worker? And they just don't produce. Do something about it. Well, kick them off a bus route. You missed it. You missed it completely. Look, if I was a Sunday school teacher and they're having a tough time, I want to help grow them. I want to teach them. Sunday school teachers, grow your people. Nursery directors. You don't need to do away with nursery workers. Teach them. Love them. Get organized. Teach everybody how to be polite. Win their hearts. Grow them. Let me make a couple observations on that. When you grow people, your attendance will naturally grow. When you're in the business of growing people, your attendance will naturally grow. And I'm talking about solid growth. Now, when you use people to grow your church, you'll get some growth, but it won't be solid. It won't be loyal. Eventually, it'll grow, but then it'll collapse, and it'll grow, and you'll have a revolving door revival. They'll come and go, and come and go, and come and go, and come and go, and come and go. Because they know they're not growing, they're being used to grow something. But when you're growing the people, then they'll have to come and stay, and come and stay, and come and stay. So when you grow people, your attendance will naturally grow. Secondly, I want to make this observation. Bible colleges are all mixed up. Bible colleges are all mixed up. Bible college students, they leave their local church and they go somewhere that has a Bible college, which should be under a local church. So now they move their membership, they go join this other church that has a Bible college, and then the Bible college students are expected to build the work. But you want to know something? They went there to be built. not to build the work. You say, Brother Holmes, I'll tell you what. If we could get us a Bible college around here, it would help our church to grow. We're not going to do it then. I wouldn't have a Bible college to get them to come build my church. That's our job. That's our job. The members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. But for some reason, God wanted a Bible college here. We have a Bible college to grow the Bible college students, not to get something out of them, but to put something into them. We're not trying to get them to build something big for us. We're going to build something big in them. I don't believe in disposable people. You use them up and then you toss them away. You wear them out and then you move on to somebody else. People are not like a pair of shoes. I realize that people come and go, but I like them to come and stay. I want everybody to come under my influence to last for the long haul. I want us all just to grow old serving God. I don't want them to come and go and come and go and come and go and we wear them out and toss them aside. Not at all. So we better get a good solid pace and run for the long haul. Now, sometimes I take chances on people. You picked who? Yeah, and somebody said that about you when they picked you once, too. Yeah, because they need to grow. I don't pick people that out of desperation to grow the work, but I want to grow the people. You know, too many of you feel, you fear failure. Say what? You didn't come fail with me. Because failure is part of growth. I can handle that. You can blow it and help me. Because blowing it is something that everybody does when they're growing. I want you to succeed, not just your ministry. Some of you say, Brother Holmes, I'm really struggling with the ministry you've given me. Yeah, but you want to know something? You have learned how to struggle. And that will make you successful. See, my bus route isn't going as well as what I want. I don't have the attendance that I want. But you know what? You're hanging in there, and that makes you tough. See, my Sunday school class is not going the way I want. But I tell you what, you're hanging tough. When you get to learning to hang tough, you're becoming tough. Maybe God's chucking you up for something bigger or better along the way. You know, some people need to learn to be productive at reaching others. So, I'll challenge them because it's best for them. Not to get productivity out of them, but because of what productivity will cause for them. So if you say, Brother Holmes, you tried to light a fire into somebody about being productive. Right. That's because that's what they needed. They should train preacher boys. They want to go out and pastor churches. They didn't want to work on us. They didn't want to teach a Sunday school class. How in the world are you going to learn to work with people if somewhere along the line you don't learn to work with people? Go do something. Make something happen. But there are some people that need personally to learn to be productive. So for their sake, we will challenge them to be productive. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to recommend something to you. I recommend you get saved tonight. Say, what for? For you. For you. For your sake. You die and go to hell. No hair off my back. I'm going to heaven. But if you get saved, that'd be real good for you. Say, Brother Holmes, you're always trying to get people saved in our church services. Who are you trying to impress? Impress? Trying to keep people out of hell. That's best for them. It's best for them. You've never been baptized. You know what you need to do? Get baptized. You're just trying to get your baptism done. I never talk to you about our baptisms. You get somebody baptized, amen. If somebody doesn't get baptized, then I can do about it. Whether you get baptized or not, isn't going to make me sleep any better tonight. They get baptized because it's best for you. If you say you've never been baptized, get baptized. You're not a member of the church. You need to join the church. You say why? It's best for you. It's best for you. So I decided a long time ago. I'm not going to use my people to build my church. I'm going to use my church to build my people. And I want a church to grow. And I want it to grow strong. We have some attendance building campaigns. You know, we had one where it was all about night church. You remember? So why'd you do that? Because that grows people. So did you have bombastic, great big attendance on Sunday mornings?
No.
Impress anybody?
No.
Grow? Oh, yeah. We grew. The people in this Sunday evening service have started coming as a result of our desire to grow people into the evening services. I might use my people to build my work, but I use my work to build my people. And everybody grows in a different way. That is exactly what the Lord was disappointed in the book of Ezekiel. He said to these shepherds, you're building up you instead of the people. And you are to build your people. That's what your ministry is all about. It's not about the buildings. It's about the souls, the lives, and the hearts that come into the buildings.